For those of you that have been listening online and through the radio, thank you for tuning back in. If you're joining us for the first time this evening, welcome. My name is Dan Rohr, and you are at the U.S. Senate Candidates Forum. I'll be your moderator for tonight's forum. I'm going to go through some introductions and some rules, and then we'll get right to the questions. So the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce is presenting this Candidates Fisheries Forum with our co-host KMXT Public Radio. And for those of you listening on one of the many public radio stations across the state, thank you for joining in with us. I also want to just remind people that are listening, we are streaming this event on Facebook Live. You can go to the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce Facebook page and follow the appropriate links there. I'm joined by Caleb Taylor from Alaska Sea Grant. He'll be our timekeeper tonight, or continue to be our timekeeper tonight. And then, of course, we have our three panelists. Introduced them earlier, but just want to do a brief bio on each of them. Teresa Peterson is a commercial fisherman, and she's currently the fisheries policy director of the Alaska Marine Conservation Council. James Turner is the Kodiak plant manager for Ocean Beauty Seafoods, and Julie Matwayu is with the Alaska Sea Grant and is the extension agent for the Kodiak region. All three of them have many decades of experience in this industry, and we appreciate you being here this evening. I want to point out our donors for this evening and for last night. I want to thank them. I am going to read their names one more time. I know I read it on the radio bio here a little while ago, but I want to read them again. Alaska Leader Seafoods, At Sea Processors Association, FV Atlantico, Highmark Marine Fabrication, FV Insatiable, Kodiak Economic Development Corporation, Kodiak Saners Association, Koniag, North Pacific Fishing Association, Pacific Seafood Processors Association, United Fishermen of Alaska, Satellite Technical Service, Silver Bay Seafoods, the FV Silver Spray, the City of Kodiak, and the Kodiak Island Borough. We talked about earlier this evening why fisheries. The reason why fisheries is Alaska seafood. The industry is the largest private sector employer in the state of Alaska. They employ 62,000 employees directly and another 10,500 in secondary jobs. And Alaska's wild seafood processing harvest exceeds over 5 billion pounds per year. That's in $2 billion worth of money, and it creates economic generation of $5 to $6 million every year in our state. So it's a huge industry. It's extremely important for us to be following the key components of it. It's also very important for us to know how our representation views these issues. Our Alaska senators have a significant responsibility in presenting Alaska's fisheries issues to the rest of the Senate. And they need to defend Alaska's interests. They need to educate their fellow senators. And so we hold these candidate events just as an opportunity for you to share your knowledge of the industry with us, and hopefully for some of our questions, maybe to pike some things that you may have not thought about before. So again, on November 8th, each one of us is going to go to the ballot box and we need to vote. This time it's a little different because we have ranked choice voting. We're going to vote for our first, our second, and sometimes even our third choice for elected statewide office. So please be an informed voter. And in light of the fact that you're listening to this and you're here, you desire to be an informed voter. So thank you for that. As you are aware, we have three candidates in our state running for one of Alaska's Senate seats. We have Senator Lisa Murkowski, we have candidate Kelly Chewbacca, and we have candidate Pat Chesbrough. I want to thank, we have two of the candidates here tonight, candidate Pat Chesbrough and Senator Lisa Murkowski. Thank you very much for both being here. You both got here in time to enjoy our wonderful rain this morning, right? Hopefully it's calmed down a little bit, but we appreciate you being here, taking the opportunity to come back to Kodiak, meet people, talk to them, and hear their concerns. So we're going to start off this evening right away with introductory statements from both of you, and then we'll get into the questions. You'll each have 2 minutes to introduce yourselves to us. As we talked about offline, we have a light clock here. When it turns yellow with any of the questions or any of the time segments, when it turns yellow, you have 30 seconds left. When it turns red, you're out of time. So, Kenneth Chesbrough, let's start with you this evening. You have 2 minutes. And again, thank you for being here this evening.
Good evening, and thank you for inviting me. In preparing for tonight, I have learned a lot, and I have much to learn. My name is Pat Chesbrough, and I have lived in Alaska since 1974, when my husband and I, as many Alaskans, came here for 1 year. And so I have been an educator my whole professional life. So I guess I would say at this point in time, I think fisheries are the second most valuable resource we have in our state. The first being our human resource. And I spent all those years as a teacher and a principal and a superintendent and a university professor encouraging those, that human resources, to become even better. I think it's very important, and I as I reflect on this, on fisheries in Alaska, I know it's vitally important on many levels. And obviously it's very important as commercial fishing, as we just heard about the very important contributions both to the people of Alaska and to the economy of Alaska. And then there's the sport fishing, which also contributes. And that is something that needs to be considered. My husband was a sport fisherman, so I still have fish poles in my house. Personal fishing is also very important to Alaskans. And I know, especially in Mat-Su, they've done surveys and they've discovered that that probably comes out as number one of the important things for people in Mat-Su. And then subsistence fishing is of vital importance and multi-generational importance to people in remote and rural Alaska. And that is also very important. And as we know, we're very, very concerned now about the disaster of the depletion of the fishing for people that rely on it. And as somebody said earlier, don't have a Fred Meyer down the road to go to. So all those things are really vitally important. And I don't think we solve any of these complex problems without working together.
Thank you. And again, thank you for being here this evening. Senator Lisa Murkowski, 2 minutes.
Thank you. And I thank the chamber for once again hosting this. 30 years, that's a pretty good run. As a candidate, I have been here for every one of these. I think it's important that you show up. I think it's important that you show up when you recognize that fisheries really is the largest private sector industry in our state. And I am disappointed that one of our challengers is not here with us today. I think it's disappointing. And so I'm very appreciative to be here today with Pat and with those who are in the audience and listening. I grew up in Southeast coastal communities. My sons both put themselves through college working on tenders out in Bristol Bay and in Southeast. I've got a nephew who is, I think he's, his boat, one of his boats is tied up on the docks in Unalaska waiting to see whether or not there's going to be a crab fishery. I have been to fishing communities all over the state. I have watched families work salmon set net sites in E-Cook. I've been up the Kuskokwim looking at fish camps, talking with families about what that means to them. I have been in dozens and dozens of processing facilities from Imonic to Dutch to Ketchikan to here in Kodiak. I have walked the docks in, I think, nearly every coastal community in this state, listening to fishermen and small boat owners. There's so many diverse fishing communities that we have, but they're all interconnected. And my job as your senator is to really keep our fisheries strong for all. And this is intervening on trade issues. This is helping to build out the markets. This is helping to incent our young fishermen to enter a graying fleet, and particularly when the barriers to entry are as high as they are. This is tackling issues like IUU and climate change. It's about funding to provide for sustainability and stability. Those are key. And I'm proud of what I've been able to do for you. I'm proud of how I've delivered for you. And I look forward to the conversation we're going to have tonight.
All right. Thank you. We do have just a slight ringing. I'm not sure which mic that's coming from, but just on the stage, I'm not sure if you're hearing it. All right. We are going to start right off into some questions. Throughout the evening, we're going to rotate between some long answer format questions, some short answer format questions. I'll announce each section and how much time you'll have to answer. Consistently throughout all of it, though, when you have 30 seconds remaining, the yellow light will go on. And when you've run out of time, the red light will go on. So with that, we're going to start out with a series of shorter answer questions designed to just get to know you a little bit better. It's intended as a 30-second response time. And I'm going to turn it right over to our panelists, and you can start us out with that first list of questions. So go right ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Welcome. Welcome you both. We're going to start off with a short questions. And I'm going to begin with Senator Murkowski. You can answer first. How often do you eat seafood and what kind is your favorite?
I eat seafood at least 3 to 4 times a week, maybe even more than that. When you take into account the shrimp, the scallops, crab. So I'm a really big seafood eater in terms of favorites. There really is nothing that I don't like when it comes to seafood. I will share with you that coming out of Southeast, I have a fondness for Dungeness crab, just boiled in a pot on the beach, fresh out of the water.
Thank you. Candidate Chesbro?
Well, I wasn't born on the beach. So I unfortunately don't get fish very often. I like fresh fish better than getting it in the store that's already been frozen. I like halibut the best.
Great, thank you.
Second question, and we'll start with candidate Chesbro. Who cooks the seafood in your home?
I cook the seafood, or my daughter's boyfriend is pretty good at it too.
Senator Murkowski.
I would like to say it's me. It really is my husband. He is a super fabulous cook, and he's the one that not only cooks the seafood, but he cooks most of the great meals that I have. But when I am by myself, it's pretty easy to just go in the freezer and get, whether it's a great little slab of cod, to be able to take a small fillet and just cook that up. I can handle it on my own too, and I do a pretty good job.
Okay, Senator Murkowski, without lying, what's the biggest fish you ever caught sports fishing?
63 pounds, not lying. Actually, it might have even been a little bit heavier than that if we had weighed him right when we got him out of the Kenai River. His name is Walter. He's mounted on my he's in my office in Washington, D.C. Walter's actually been a subject of a Jeopardy question a couple different times because this fish is so extraordinary. That's my biggest fish.
Thank you. Okay, candidate Chesbro, how about you?
I would say that when we went fishing, I read books.
That's honest.
Okay. If you were a fisherman, in which federal fishery would you like to participate? I've lost track.
I was going to go to candidate Chesbro first.
You can go first.
Where would I fish, are you saying?
Which federal fishery would you like to participate in if you...
Oh, sure. Halibut, wherever that is.
Halibut fishery. Great. Thank you. Senator Murkowski?
So I mentioned that my nephew has a crab. He's a crab fisherman. My son has been out on the boat in the Bering Sea with him. And as a mom, it kind of terrified me, but I've always wanted to go out. I've wanted to try the big, deep, tough stuff and see what I was made of. It kind of scares me, but I want to try it. I don't think I would be doing it for fun, but I think I would appreciate the experience.
Okay, Senator Murkowski, describe one of the most rememberable experiences when interacting with the seafood industry.
One of the most memorable experiences. So I was in Emonic, and they had they just established this small seafood processing facility. It's Quipac, and they were taking me through the various parts of the processing facility, and we went into the egg room where there were younger kids 16 years old that were it was such a memorable experience. It was so great because these kids were so excited about what they were doing. It was a new it was a new industry for them, what they were doing with the processing. And it was memorable. Sorry, I forgot I had a time limit.
Candidate Chesbro.
I could give her the rest of her time. I do that. I have not had as much experience as others. I do, one of the best times I ever had actually was the Emperor's birthday party at the Captain Cook. They had seafood, delicious, wonderful seafood as celebration.
All right. Thank you. We're going to move into, like I said, we're going to move through a series of longer format questions, shorter format questions. Right now, we're going to go into our longer format questions, policy-based questions. You have a two-minute response time on these, up to a two-minute response time. I believe there are three of these that we're going to start out with. And so I'm going to turn it over to our panelists. If you'd like to start with the first one, again, remember two-minute time limit on those. Go ahead.
We're going to start with candidate Chesbro. What are the biggest challenges you see facing the Alaska seafood industry from the federal perspective? What can be done about those challenges?
I think, you know, I'm really kind of a novice. And one of the things that I have learned is, or one of the things I'm concerned about is the whole disaster declaration process. I worry that we shouldn't wait till it's a disaster before we intervene. And I think that that's one of the things that should be looked at. I think we also need to do a lot of research about how climate change especially is affecting our fisheries, because I think it's obvious that there's things going on around the world on all kinds of levels. And I think we need to know, and I think we need to be able to adapt to that. And I also believe that we make sure that we continue to get the voices of as many people as we can involved in processes, no matter whether it's a state process or a federal process.
Thank you. Senator Murkowski.
So I think I'd put it into three different buckets in terms of the challenges that we're facing. We clearly have a workforce issue. I mentioned in my opening statement, you know, we've got a graying of the fleet. What is it that we are doing to make sure that we have young people that are interested, that are incented to be part of this very critical industry, important for our state, important for our country? So that is a big challenge for us right now. Another area of challenge is developing and sustaining the market in a changing global dynamic, and what that means to us, how we are competitive, what are the trade barriers that are limiting us in this regards. And I look at that, and there's so many different factors that we're facing right now. It was mentioned by the House candidates. You've got Russian sanctions. You've got China that we believe is kind of working to help facilitate Russian product around our sanctions. We have issues there that I think are a barrier to us presently. The other area that I would raise is the issue of sustainability of our resources and the management that will lead to greater sustainability going forward. The discussion that we have about a Magnuson-Stevens Act and the reauthorization there, I think is obviously very critical to that. But we need to be thinking about sustainability through management, as well as the impacts and the dynamics that we're feeling from climate change. So there's a lot in front of us that I worry about.
Thank you. Great. Senator Murkowski, you just touched on this briefly in your previous answer, but our question is, Alaska has a worker shortage that will only get worse over the coming years. Is there anything the federal or state government can do to increase the workforce in the fishing and processing sectors?
Yes, federal government, but also here in the state and in our communities. We have passed the Young Fishermen Development Act. This was something that was really the genesis here from the fishing industry to focus on what we can be doing to build out that workforce. I think that that is going to be important going forward. I was just told just today that NOAA is going to be releasing the first tranche of that funding for young fishermen's development. I think that we need to do more to expand that to mariculture. I have put out for comment just this week what we're calling a working waterfronts initiative, and part of that is focused on workforce development, what more we can do to build out that workforce. We've obviously got to deal with the issue of visas and the accessibility of visas. I am hoping that we're going to have some good news coming out of Homeland Security here very shortly about the issuance of additional support for H-2B visas. But in fairness, we've got a broken system. We've got a broken system when it comes to those visas. When you're aced out of it because of the timing of our seasons and you cannot get the visas that you need, regardless of the fact that you have started from the very first hour of the very first day of eligibility. So we've got some things that we need to address on the visa side as well.
Thank you. Candidate Chesbro, I can repeat the question if you'd
yes,
like.
Please.
Okay. Alaska has a worker shortage that will only get worse over the coming years. Is there anything the federal or state government can do to increase the workforce in the fishing and processing sectors?
I think we have workforce issues in many areas, and I think our young people, for whatever reason, are not being encouraged to go into careers, futures that they can count on, that they want to count on. I suspect they're nervous as they see the fishing industry have difficulty. I know that it's hard work, and I think that that's kind of a challenge things for people. I think a lot of times people become fishermen because they're in a traditional family of fisher people. And then if the family, they say, well, I don't want to be a farmer. I don't want to be a fisherman. So I think all of those things, I like the idea of encouraging young fishermen. I think it's a great idea. We have to get to our young people and show them the opportunities rather than the missed opportunities of fishing. And I think we can do that. And I applaud the effort.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to start with candidate Chesbro. How should Alaska be preparing for a negative or positive changes brought on by the changing environment or climate?
Well, obviously we need to begin to look at how that's actually affecting us. I read the other day that the Arctic is actually warming at four times the rate of the rest of the world. And so obviously going to be a problem for us as we go forward. So we need to do a lot of research, and we need to do a lot of looking, and we need to do a lot of thinking so that we know what we're doing. But we all also need to take responsibility for our piece of all of this and look at the way we behave and the way we use things that do pollute our world or do, you know, warm our air or those kinds of things. I think we all need to kind of look at that. I know that it's a big problem and it's a complex issue to tackle, but I think we all need to take responsibility for our part of it. And then we need to make sure we look at what's going on and see what we can do to help.
Senator Murkowski.
We know that when it comes to the issue of a changing climate and one that we see has real impact to our fisheries, you don't need to be a science to know and understand that we're seeing changes within our fisheries because of warming temperatures, because of changes in ocean acidification, because of changes in what is happening with habitat and really the food source for our different species that are out there. So what do we do about it? I am a big believer that when we don't know what is happening in front of us, the best thing that we can do right now is to take the effort to try to understand through as much science and research and data as we possibly can. I've got a measure out there. We've introduced it in the past. We're reintroducing it again. It's an ocean acidification monitoring for communities. So communities can understand kind of what's coming so they can be forward leaning. I'm working with Senator Coons from Connecticut on a measure that we call NCARS, the National Climate Adaptation Resilience Strategy. And it's designed to really put a focus on what is our strategy? What is the strategy when it comes to understanding to the best that we can these changes in our climate? We've got to address the resilience factors. We've made some good steps, I think, in recent legislation, everything from the infrastructure bill that I led on to the Energy Act that we put in place in 2020, that was my bill, to what was just passed, some of the pieces within the Inflation Reduction Act. I didn't like that bill as much as the other two, but there are some good pieces in there with regards to resilience. It's understanding what we're dealing with.
All right. Thank you. That'll bring us, we've got, you notice in front of you, you've got some paddles. They say yes, they say no on them, green for yes, no for with red. And what we're going to do, our panelists are going to ask you a series of questions. You'll hold up yes or no. And if you could hold them up long enough, just for everybody to be able to see. And then, like I said earlier, we realized, you know, we're on statewide on the radio. It'd probably be a good idea if I clarify what you've held up. So you're also welcome to say yes or no into the mic as well if you'd like to. But I'll go ahead after you've raised your paddle and let the listening audience know what you've had to say. So with that, let's turn it over to our panelists for these yes and no paddle questions, I guess.
Okay, well, I'll kick us off. Alrighty. If elected, will fisheries be in your office's top five priorities?
Yes.
All right, we have two yeses. Go right ahead.
Will you commit to supporting more funding for fisheries research and stock assessment surveys in Alaska?
Yes.
Yes, two paddles.
All right, we've got multiple hands up as well. All right, next question.
Do you think fishermen, processors, and communities should get federal funds for disaster relief when a fishery performs poorly?
Yes.
All right. Again, we have two yeses.
Okay. Would you support a Jones Act waiver for Alaska?
All right. And we have two noes.
And final question, is there a role for finfish aquaculture in Alaska?
All right, we have a split, yes and a no. We have Senator Murkowski with a no and candidate Chesbrough with a yes. All right, that brings us back to some long answer questions. Again, you'll have 2 minutes to respond to these. Again, as a reminder, the clock will turn yellow when you have 30 seconds left and it'll turn red when your time has expired. Sometime, and I forgot to start out by telling everybody this. I mean, everybody was here present earlier, so you saw us have to interrupt. At some point, we're going to hit 7:59. And when we do that, I'm going to politely interrupt and we'll read the radio taglines that need to be done throughout the state of Alaska. It may happen in this section. It may happen in the other, but I'll try to give us as much warning as possible. So some more long format policy questions. Let's turn it back over to our panelists. Thank you.
Senator Murkowski, how will you work to ensure that the seafood industry becomes a bigger part of USDA and benefit from the many programs available currently only to farmers?
This is an area that I think we really need to be focused on. We know that USDA can be very, very helpful to us. They have with certain purchases of seafood. We need to be doing more with that. But there are programs for agriculture that are very generous. Loan guarantees that can help with processing facilities, to help with your agriculture business, your farming. There are programs that are designed to help agriculture because it's all about food, right? Seafood is food. Why is USDA so focused on that food that is just grown on land? What about the food that is harvested from our ocean? So I'm really leaning in. I mentioned this working waterfronts bill that our draft that we're proposing, this is one of the things that I want to focus on, is what more we can be doing within USDA. Crop insurance. Everybody knows about crop insurance. It's been part of what happens with agriculture disasters for decades. Why don't we have some form of opportunity for an equivalent when you have a fisheries disaster, instead of fighting as we do year over year? You have disasters, fisheries disasters, that are declared in 2018, and you don't get the relief until 2022. We saw what a mess from that 2016 fish disaster. What a horrible, flawed process this is. We need to be looking at how they handle it on the ag side, and USDA, I think, can be a real partner for us. We need to push that more.
Kenneth Chesbrough, would you like the question repeated?
Yes, would you please?
Okay. How will you work to ensure that the seafood industry becomes a bigger part of USDA and benefit from the many programs available currently only to farmers?
Again, I'm confused as to why it isn't part of USDA. I don't know who made that decision. It must have been made a long time ago, and we're kind of just hanging in there, so it needs to be part of it. Obviously, I think, too, I mean, I agree. I mean, Senator Murkowski has a lot of good comments about that and a lot of good initiatives. I think we could also look at school lunches and the appropriateness of including more seafood in school lunches, because I think that helps kids to learn to eat well. And I know the Department of Agriculture has a lot to do with school lunches. So I think that's another area that we could look at. But I think that's something that's very important, and let's get it fixed.
Thank you. We're going to start with Candidate Chesbrough this time. What do you believe the Federal Salmon Task Force can try to accomplish, and what is the timing for this legislation?
Well, we don't want famine. I really don't know anything about that legislation. Obviously, we want food security wherever we are, and we don't want famine. And I don't know enough about the legislation to say more.
Senator McCaskill.
So, Salmon Task Force, you've got what the governor has established, which is really focused on what can be done with bycatch. And I think that the focus that they have, I understand the report's supposed to be coming out, I think, in November. But I think the effort at the state side is a very key one. Senator Sullivan and I had a salmon summit earlier in the year, gathering input from folks all around the state on what was happening with our salmon, and we heard some very, very key takeaways. Additional support for understanding salmon within our river systems, support to tribes. I have, through my position on the Appropriations Committee, worked to address some of what we heard from that. We've got $15 million in the congressionally directed spending that is moving through the process right now, that's targeted for things like Bering Sea fisheries research, intertribal federal subsistence cooperative management plan, the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, the likes of that. But what I heard from our summit was everything that we can be doing on the research side to be understanding what is happening with our salmon stocks around the state, and whether it is the monitoring, the eDNA, everything that we can be doing to help facilitate that is going to be an important outcome. So you've got what we're trying to do through our legislation with the Salmon Task Force Act, as well as what the governor has done with his salmon task force here within the state.
And I apologize for not listening carefully.
Yeah, next question goes first to Senator Murkowski. What can be done to address the ongoing seafood trade issues with China and Russia?
Well, this was something that, right after Russia invaded Ukraine, and there were all kinds of sanctions that were going out against Russia, and appropriately so, Senator Sullivan and I were like, well, don't forget seafood. Don't forget seafood when you're talking about sanctions. And we move forward a measure through the Senate, and the president then acted by executive order, or he acted to enforce those sanctions against Russian seafood. That was important, and in fairness, it was long overdue, because since 2014, I think it's 2014, the Russians have been imposing tariffs on our seafood. So it hasn't been an even playing field for a long period of time. I mentioned earlier, I'm concerned that the Chinese are kind of going in a backdoor approach, helping the Russians out in avoiding some of these U.S. sanctions. I think we need to crank down on that as well. We had the opportunity to bring the USTR, the U.S. Trade Representative, Catherine Tai, to Alaska this summer to speak. Not for us to speak to her, but for you all to speak to her and share so many of the concerns that have been raised to the delegation with regards to trades and sanctions.
Thank you. And the same question to you, Candidate Chesbrough. I can repeat that.
Please.
What can be done to address the ongoing seafood trade issues with China and Russia?
Well, obviously, it's difficult for me to disagree with the senator, and I do not. I think we have to make it fair. We have to make all of these things fair, and I understand that our sales to China are down 63%. Our imports are up from China. We need to find balance, and we need to support our own people.
Thank you.
Okay, this question is going to be for Candidate Chesbrough to start. When addressing infrastructure, the seafood industry is often overlooked. How important is it to you to work to obtain funds for Alaska's ports and harbors, et cetera?
Alaska's ports and harbors are essential to Alaska. We have how many miles of coast? We have lots and lots of coast. We need lots and lots of help. And we're also still a young state. I'm from upstate New York originally. Those states have been around for many, many more years than we have been around as far as a state. We are still behind in our support for the infrastructure that we need. I think the infrastructure bill is going to help, and I thank Senator Murkowski for that. But we need to not only do that, and then we need to look at our own state budget to know that we are also maintaining those facilities that we build with that money.
Senator Murkowski.
Our infrastructure is absolutely key for our coastal communities. Most of our coastal communities are not connected by road. None of us drove here to get to Kodiak. We flew in, or, I don't think anyone was taking the boat, but we have to have that infrastructure. And so having good functioning working ports, having good harbors that meet the need, that can accommodate your fishing fleets, these are key. And this is something that I have worked to address in this infrastructure bill that was just passed into law this year. But you also have to be able to move your people around. And that's why we need a strong Alaska Marine Highway system, and why it was so important to put funding for our ferries, as well as roads and rails and bridges and et cetera. I keep taking it back to my working waterfronts proposal that we've got out there, because I recognize that not all ports are like the port of Anchorage. They're smaller ports, and what they are lacking is some of the things that just make a small economy happen. When Wrangell got their facility for a marine haul out, all of a sudden it gave them a little bit of an economy where before they were struggling. We need boat haul outs. We need ramps. We need storage, warehouse capacity in Uplands. So it's everything that goes into making a functioning harbor, a functioning port. And I think sometimes we overlook some of the things that we would say are smaller, but they are just as necessary. So we cannot do what the fisheries require of us if we cannot move the product. And so it requires the ports and the harbors, the airports, the marine transport, and all of the above.
Thank you. Senator Mikulski, if elected, which committee assignments will be your priority?
It really is appropriations. And I only paused because I feel like I have such key committee assignments for Alaska. Between what I have on energy as the senior member, a senior Republican on energy, the vice chairman of the Indian Affairs Committee, being relatively senior now on the health, education, labor, pensions. But it's appropriations where you really do get an overview of all of the issues. And certainly when we're talking about the fisheries, appropriations is key. So I'm on the subcommittee for Commerce, Justice, Science, and that has the oversight of NOAA. That's where we've really been able to put some muscle into getting the funding for not only the fisheries increments that we received with the congressionally directed spending. I stumble on that word because they're just earmarks, all right? And they are targeted at issues that Alaskans have come to me and said, these are our priorities. And so whether we're talking about stream gauges for water quality monitoring on transboundary issues, or our fisheries surveys, the way that we were able to plus up the programmatic funding for that so that we're getting our trawl, our baseline surveys, that's key. Everything that we're doing with funding for Salt and Saul Kennedy funding, all of this comes to you through appropriations. It's not always about the money. The authorizations are key, but as Ted Stevens reminded me, you can authorize all you want, but if you don't fund it, you're not quite home yet. So this is where I think the priority needs to be.
Thank you. And candidate Chesbrough, if you're elected, what would committee assignments would be your priority?
Well, I can't not say that education wouldn't be a priority for me. I think, as I said earlier, the foundational part of our nation is our young people and their education. And I think we've gone astray a little bit with it. And I think we need to strengthen education. And I think that will strengthen every other aspect of our society. And so that would be the one I would really want to be on the most. I think energy is also a really important one on many levels, especially renewable energy, finding the ways to bring good energy to everyone. And I think of remote Alaska specifically and their reliance on diesel fuel that's hugely expensive. And we need to find ways to make sure they have good quality energy at reduced prices. And those would be my two. The ease.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to switch to some short answer questions here next. But again, I need to read this station identification for everyone. And so we're going to do that shortly. Again, thank you, everybody, for being here this evening and for listening in statewide. We thank you for being here. I got 2 seconds. And then you're listening to the Statewide Fisheries Forum from KMXT Kodiak, heard statewide, courtesy of the Alaska Public Broadcasting Satellite System. Thank you to our candidates for being here, and thanks to the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce for organizing the event. Our local public radio station, KMXT, is broadcasting the forums locally and making them available to the statewide public radio network. Once again, I would like to thank our sponsors who helped make this forum possible, Alaska Leader Seafoods, ATSI Processors Association, FV Atlantico, Highmark Marine Fabrication, FV Insatiable, Kodiak Economic Development Corporation, Kodiak Saners Association, Koniag, North Pacific Fishing Association, Pacific Seafood Processors Association, United Fishermen of Alaska, Satellite Technical Service, Silver Bay Seafoods, FV Silver Spray, the City of Kodiak, and the Kodiak Island Borough. Again, thank you for joining us this evening. We are live in Kodiak with the U.S. Senate Fisheries Forum and Senator Murkowski and candidate Pat Chesbrough. Thank you again. Apologize for those interruptions around throughout the evening, but we really, really do appreciate our public radio stations across the state. They put a lot of effort into educating our communities, and I, for one, know I appreciate that. So thank you for rolling with us as we do those station identifications that are required by law for them. With that, let's go to our short answer questions. You have a 1 minute response time allocated for these. And so we'll start off, and actually we're going to be starting off on your list with question number two. So I'll go ahead and turn it over to our panelists. Go ahead, right ahead.
Great. This question goes first to candidate Chesbrough. Will you work across the aisle on legislation important to the seafood industry? If so, how?
I work with people. I'm a teacher, and that's what you do when you're a teacher. You work with 30 people in front of you, but you also work with principals and you work with superintendents, and I can work with people, and I don't think people have, I'm for people. I can work with anyone, and I will.
Thank you. Senator Murkowski?
Well, working collaboratively is how I roll. It's what I do. It's how I have governed, and it is bringing people together to try to advance good things for Alaska and good things for our country. So when you asked the question, I was just kind of jotting down the different measures that I have been involved with, where I'm thinking immediately of my colleague on the other side of the aisle, because I don't think that there's any legislation that I really introduce unless I've got a partner working with me on the other side of the aisle, or perhaps it's just the Alaska specific delegation. But it really is about finding that level of consensus. I don't want to take anybody's time in just sending messages on legislation. I want to actually pass it. And in order to pass it, particularly in a 50-50 Senate, you're going to have to figure out how you work with the other side. So it's whether what I've been doing with Sheldon Whitehouse, working on our Blue Globe initiative, focusing on the blue economy. Why wouldn't I work with somebody on the other side of the aisle?
Okay, this question is going to start with Senator Murkowski. How important is Arctic policy to fisheries in Alaska?
It is. Arctic policy is significant to our fisheries. As we know, there is a growing interest in the Arctic. We've paid attention to it, but the rest of the world is really paying much more attention to the Arctic. And from the fisheries perspective, there's concern. Because as we are seeing more people, more pressures for food and food security, you look for other places for protein. And so I worry about the Arctic as an area that right now we don't know what we don't know up above the Arctic Circle. We don't know what's happening with the strength of those fisheries. We don't need to have an overfishing of a resource when we don't know about the strength of our fisheries up there. So I'm concerned. I am active in all levels of engagement when it comes to the Arctic, and that includes fisheries.
Candidate Chesbrough.
The Arctic is becoming more and more, obviously more and more important to the whole world and more, and we do not want to have it taken advantage of. We want to do this right. The whole warming of the Arctic is going to affect the whole world. We have to figure out how that will affect us and how we can be resilient about anything that might change. We have to work toward understanding the Arctic And I know there are agencies that are doing that, but it's very important. And we can be, I think Alaska can be a leader. So.
Candidate Chesbro, as senator, what one law or regulation would you repeal or change that affects the fishing industry?
What one law would I repeal?
Or change?
I worry about the issue of bycatch and that we're throwing food away. My understanding is that you have to discard the bycatch if it's not something that you're qualified to take. But when I see that people are starving, I have really difficulty thinking that we would throw away food and it would just go to waste. And I would try to work on figuring out how we would not do that anymore.
Thank you. Senator Murkowski.
So it's a great question. The response that comes to mind is within the Marine Mammal Protection Act, which of course is a tough one to go into for any kind of change. But I think we have seen, as we see sea otters in literally an inundation in certain parts of the state, certainly down in Southeast, you have them here as well. But really taking over and wiping out, basically wiping out the shellfish, crab, and you've got very significant limitations on who can take the sea otters and what that harvest can look like. It is something that Alaskans have come to me, they come to colleagues in the state legislature as well, seeking answers. It's a tough one, but I'd like to try to work through that one.
Panelists, as I look at our clock, I think we've got time for at least one more, possibly two more questions. So go right ahead.
All right. I'm going to select my question then. First question goes out to Senator Murkowski. As a percentage, how much of your portfolio or time do you think will be spent working on fisheries issues?
I spend a lot of time working on fisheries issues. I've got a dedicated team ocean within my office. I not only have my fish expert, my expertise, who's a fisherman herself, raised out in Bristol Bay and fished there with her family for generations, but I've always had a Sea Grant fellow in my office, and I also have a Coast Guard fellow that works with us on fisheries issues. So I have about three people that are really very dedicated to fisheries and fisheries management, fisheries related issues. We spend a lot of time on this, and we should. It's the number one private employer in our state right now. We supply 60% of the seafood for the country. We should be spending a lot of time talking about fisheries in my office and everybody else's office.
Thank you. Candidate Chesbro?
I think that's an excellent question to which I don't have a very good answer, but I do agree that it's such a vital issue that we need to devote lots of time and energy to it. And because I am not as educated about it and understanding, I will have to spend more time understanding all the issues that they relate, because it affects Alaska, and that would be my responsibility.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to do one more. We have time for two?
Go for one, and let's see where we end up.
Okay, well, then I'm going to ask the one I want. So we'll start with Senator... Or excuse me, we're going to start with Candidate Chesbro. How do you propose to support new entrants to fisheries?
New entrants to fisheries?
Entrants into fisheries.
Boy, again, here I am not knowing very much. One of the things that I would say, and this may not even be answering your question, but I'm going to say it anyway. I heard a few weeks ago that some of the traditional permits that have been, say, in Angoon or Hunan, small villages, have been, they used to have 100 and now they have 4 that are owned by people in those communities. I would hope we would be able to reverse that kind of a trend. I don't know whether it's big groups buying them. I don't know who's buying them. I don't know why they're not being used by those local communities. But I think it's vital that our local communities be able to access the kinds of resources that will help to support the communities and the people in those communities.
Senator Murkowski.
Everything that we can do to encourage young people into our fisheries. And there are so many barriers to entry. The cost, you know, to get yourself almost geared up, you're $500,000. What young person is going to be able to take that on? And so I think we need to be looking critically to how we can work to help facilitate, whether it is loan opportunities. I mentioned USDA being able to utilize them as we do currently for agriculture. But through the Young Fishermen's Development Act, this is something, again, that we've put in place. We've enacted it into law. We had initial authorization of $2 million. I'm looking to plus that up to an authorization of $20 million. It doesn't necessarily mean that we got $20 million to help facilitate that, but I think we recognize that we've got to grow that if we're really going to make a difference.
Thank you.
All right, and that's our time for questions tonight. Really appreciate the quickness at which we got through a bunch of them, throwing a lot of questions at people in a fairly short period of time. So thank you very much for that, candidates. We have 1 minute each allocated for you for closing statements. And so we will go ahead and let's start off with you, Senator Lisa Murkowski. 1 minute.
Well, thank you. And I really, really appreciate the opportunity to be here and to have this focused dialogue on fisheries. It is really actually refreshing to just be able to focus on the issues. And I hope what you've heard from me tonight is that I don't view this as the fishing and our fisheries as just kind of a check the box to deliver during campaign season. Fishing is not just a part of life in our state. It is a way of life, and I think that's what makes us so unique and so special, and that's why it has to be made a top priority. And those of us that represent Alaskans in Washington, D.C., need to be there to help translate many of the unique aspects of the fisheries and what it means to have our fisheries be a part of our lives. And so what you need is you need somebody who's going to show up for you every day and deliver to you every day. And I believe I'm that person. I'd be honored to have your vote.
Thank you, Senator Murkowski. Candidate Pat Chesbro, your closing comments.
So you've learned tonight that I don't know very much about fisheries. But I am convinced that I can learn those kinds of things. And I know that fishing is Alaska. We live fish in Alaska, and even if I just read books. But I think it's really vital that we have someone in Washington who will stand up for fishing and who will stand up for Alaskans. And I'm willing to do that. I have a lot to learn, and I understand that. And I'm a good learner, and I would be more than anxious to do that if you have the confidence in me to vote for me. So I appreciate the time, and I appreciate everything that I've learned tonight, and it's going to take me a while to keep working through it. So thank you very much.
Candidate Chesbro, thank you very much. I want to thank you both for being here this evening. Appreciate your making the time and your busy schedules to come to Kodiak. Thank you. Our panelists, thank you again for being here this evening. Julie, James, Teresa, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules. Caleb, again, thank you for keeping us on task and focused. Super nice as a moderator to not have to keep track of the time. So thank you for that. To our audiences, I know it's been a long evening, so I thank you very much for sticking around. Appreciate your being there with us throughout this evening. I hope it's been an informative evening for you. It's been an informative evening for me. So as a last reminder, I just want to remind you again, don't forget Tuesday, November 8th. Please make sure to get out and vote. Between now and then, make sure to continue to get to know the candidates. We're going to give you an opportunity here just shortly. If you're here in Kodiak, in the Kodiak Auditorium, there's some cookies in the foyer. Our candidates are happy to stick around and visit with you and get to know you a little better. Maybe answer a few more questions. James got to ask his question that he wanted to make sure got asked. Some of you may have questions that we didn't think of asking, so please feel free to ask them. So with that, we want to wish you all a very good evening. Have a great night. Be safe. Thank you.